The topic of this treatment is control. This topic was inspired as a result of reading a quotation from a former politician, and he stated as follows: "Who controls the food supply controls the people. Who controls the energy can control whole continents. Who controls money can control the world." There is a button for viewing or downloading a file which lists the various references on the topic of control, which are provided in Mary Baker Eddy's writings, and some of those will be addressed in this recording. But it is recommended that those references be studied in earnest, as it will help embed in thought various things that should be considered under the topic of control. The three categories that are addressed in this quotation certainly should awaken one to how important it is to treat this topic and to include all mankind, because all mankind is connected, just like the great redwood sequoia trees in Northwest California, where even though the roots are shallow, they are all bonded together. And that unity gives them strength that has enabled them to last for several thousand years and are still standing. Here is a repeat of that quotation. Who controls the food supply controls the people. Who controls the energy can control whole continents. Who controls money can control the world. Jesus stated that thinking about something is the same as doing it. There is a politician that stood up in Congress, and Congress is considered the House, and there are 435 members. And they basically are supposed to be representing the various states according to population. This particular politician made the statement in Congress in front of everyone else present. He said, "I am the only one that has not taken money from lobbyists." Lobbyists are those individuals that are paid by their employer to influence anyone that is involved in controlling the population. This can go from the lowest to the highest level. The highest meaning the President of the United States. And the lowest means anyone at all that has any influence on anyone above themselves. Obviously, if one would like to have a country that is free from control by those who are paying the lobbyists, the dream free society would be void of all lobbyists. In a free country, which is what the foundation of America was based upon, there should be no money involved in making decisions that are going to affect the population. It should be the will of the people that should affect those decisions. But unfortunately, the evils of humanity include greed, as well as many other adjectives of humanity. Therefore, it is not only our duty as Christian Scientists, but it is a primary element of freedom to be protecting the rights that we are supposed to have as citizens of the United States of America. America was founded as a republic, and the founders of the country said, "Here you are, we've given you a republic, let's see if you can keep it." Well, it didn't last very long, because the first Constitution was in 1789. And within 6 years after the passing of Abraham Lincoln, who of course was assassinated, a new Constitution was adopted in 1871. We are providing an image of a comparison between the two constitutions. And I doubt if you are aware of any of the provisions of the new Constitution. And this Constitution of 1871 is what has been in effect ever since 1871. Please view the image as opposed to me going through any of the details. But it is obvious that we lost most of our freedoms in 1871. Please review all 27 items that are compared so that you get an appreciation for exactly why we need to treat the topic of control. That topic must be in the forefront of our consciousness. For individual consciousness is the only way we can reform and transform a corrupt constitution to its original intent of being a constitution that represents the freedom of the population. And that means the citizens of the United States of America. Anyone that is not a citizen of the United States and is here illegally has no right to be here. President Eisenhower knew that, and therefore he had the largest deportation program, I believe, in the history of our country. And the one that is leading by far in all the polls for being the next president of the United States publicly has stated that he will institute the greatest and most comprehensive deportation program in the history of America. President Eisenhower, in his outgoing speech after 8 years in office, and this would have been 1960, perhaps it was in January of 1961, but whenever it was, he stated that the biggest concern that the population of America, the citizens of America, need to be concerned about is the military-industrial complex. Now, that is exactly what we're talking about regarding the lobbyist. That complex is the one that pays the lobbyist to change the policies of the government to favor their personal interests, the interests of the employers by whom these lobbyists are funded. Another important factor to realize is that the military-industrial complex that was referred to by President Eisenhower have one interest, and that is to always be involved in war, for that is where their funding comes from, the taxpayer dollars to create war weapons. Not for defense, but for aggression. The motive of war is to get something for nothing. Something that belongs to someone else and not the aggressor. Countries have been an aggressor against Russia time after time. Russia is the largest country in the world and more than twice the size of Canada. The area of Russia represents 11% of the world's land surface. Also, the value of Russia's natural resources is $75 trillion, which is by far the most in the world, and that of the United States is $45 trillion. These are measured in U.S. dollars. Saudi Arabia comes in third, and other countries follow that. So therefore, Russia has been a target by the greed of many countries, and the U.S. has been at the top of the list in trying to get the resources for free from Russia by waging war against it in any way possible. What has been stated so far is just a few of the reasons why we must have the topic of control in the forefront of what we address in our treatments. As stated, I highly encourage the study of all the references in Science and Health and Mary Baker Eddy's other writings on the topic of control. In thinking about Russia, if you talk to many countries around the world, they have nothing but the ultimate respect for Russia. But what about the U.S.? As of this date, which is February 2, 2024, the media is totally controlled, and I'm referring to the large media, as there are many small media companies which are announcing on a continuous basis truth. One of our government agencies, three-letter agency, has a program that has been in effect for many decades, and the title to that program is Project Mockingbird. It used to be secret, but it's no longer. The egotism involved is such that they don't even hide it anymore. You can go on the internet and search for it. Now, whether it's available through the most popular search engine, I don't know, but I know that it is certainly available on a quality search engine, which I use. But let me just read one sentence from the document that outlines what it's all about. And this is from the director of the agency. And this was about 45 years ago. It says, "We'll know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false." Is that clear enough? Does that give you a clue as to what the mainstream media is promoting, which are controlled by the ones who control the government? The military-industrial complex? And we must include in that the banking industry, the stock and commodity industry, and the governments who control those industries. We're talking about royalty and others. Come up with a great idea and make an application for a patent. Our patent office has been inactive for probably 150 years. The patent applications just sit there and sit there and sit there. Anything at all that is going to take money away from the military-industrial complex or big corporations of all categories, the patents will just sit there. We would have free energy, absolutely free energy, unlimited, if it weren't for what I'm discussing. Okay, I've spent enough time justifying why control should be at the forefront of our priority list on treatment. And we've had many treatments that covered control. We have exposed the kinds of things that I'm talking about here time and time again. But because so much of the population, and by population I mean legal citizens of the United States of America. So forget the approximately 22 million that are illegal residents of the United States of America. I'm talking about the ones that are legal citizens of the United States of America. There is so much following for their entire lifetimes of the mainstream media, which is putting out disinformation, fake news. There's only one thing we can do about it. Mary Baker Eddy says, forget about going to Congress and trying to make a stand. Now, if you're one that is like that one out of the 435 that has stated publicly that they're the only one that is not taking money from lobbyists, then that's fine. If that's what your goal is, fine. But there's only 435 seats there, and there's only 100 seats in the Senate. And there's only 50 governorships. So that means that all but those few have to be working in a different way. And of course, those few, if they were all sincere Christian Scientists, would be working in the same way that all of us should be working. And that is by transforming our own individual consciousness and being an example so that it will be contagious. We want everyone to get the idea of the benefits of being a lighthouse. The lighthouse is out there for one purpose, being a lighthouse. We need to be a lighthouse with our consciousness and let all thought, speech, and action follow that lighthouse consciousness, the consciousness of the Christ. The Christ consciousness, the consciousness of God, the consciousness of truth. I don't mean the consciousness of Jesus as being a human man or a hybrid, because he didn't have any father that planted a seed, but I'm talking about the Christ, which is what he represented as a title, just like a president. We don't follow the man, we should be following what he represents, if he's representing the truth. We should be supporting the office of the truth, not the office of an individual human. We have to be thinking at a level above a human. And for your information, government is a topic that includes control. So if you're going to think about control, remember to also include the word government. Well, the very first reference by Mary Baker Eddy is on page 73 in the chapter number 4 entitled Christian Science versus Spiritualism. And the title of the paragraph is One Government. Now, before we start with this first reference, remember that Mary Baker Eddy says that in order to heal a problem, we have to analyze and determine and expose the cause. She's made it very clear that typically the symptom does not point to the cause, because the way that evil operates is that it is based on decoys. And she says the problem will probably appear in the weakest part of our body. And the real definition of body is not just a physical thing that we see when we look in the mirror or we look at someone else. A body includes all that is in our consciousness, all thought, speech, and action. If we dream about being on another planet, that's part of our body. If we're eating and we're conscious of eating, then that's part of our body. If we're working, that's part of our body. Our profession, every relationship, any event that we're involved in, that we think about, is our body. As already stated, Jesus said that thinking about something is the same as doing it. Well, thinking about something is part of our body. What we're thinking about, the object of our thought, is part of our body. Two different people can look at exactly the same thing and have two absolutely diametrically opposed opinions about what they see. That tells you that the object of a human vision is totally dependent upon human thought. One of the introductory quotes of Science and Health is from Shakespeare. And this is before the preface. These are one of the three quotes that introduce you to the entire textbook. And it states, there is nothing, either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. A treatment for oneself, and of course we should include all humanity, we can make the profound statement that the only thought that can occur to me is an angel thought directly from God. For God is the only source of all existence. And man is a reflection of that source. Therefore, the thoughts of man can only be the thoughts from God. And this includes all humanity. This kind of a statement will uplift all humanity. It will project out into the atmosphere of universal thought, and anyone at all that is receptive to this line of thinking will be blessed. If we have devilish thoughts, it's going to be a big negative. We can't focus on the negative, because that will be multiplied. Okay, here's what Mary Baker Eddy says under One Government, and this is from page 73, Science and Health, Christian Science versus spiritualism, as noted a moment ago. Spiritualism calls one person living in this world material, but another who has died today, a sinner, and supposedly will return to earth tomorrow, it terms a spirit. The fact is that neither the one nor the other is infinite spirit. For spirit is God, and man is his likeness. The belief that one man as spirit can control another man as matter upsets both the individuality and the science of man. For man is image. God controls man, and God is the only spirit. Any other control or attraction of so-called spirit is a mortal belief, which ought to be known by its fruit, the repetition of evil. A few words explain the entire paragraph. The title is One Government, and within the paragraph it says God controls man, and God is the only spirit. And it says man is his likeness. How more clear can we be? We need to reinforce in our consciousness that the only man that exists is the likeness of God. God is not matter. He's not made up of material senses, of seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling. That is not his identity. The identity of man is God. Man is the image and likeness of God. Another reference is from Chapter 6, Science, Theology, Medicine, page 145. Title is Mystery of Godliness. Scientific healing has this advantage over other methods, that in it truth controls error. From this fact arises its ethical as well as its physical effects. Indeed, its ethical and physical effects are indissolubly connected. If there is any mystery in Christian healing, it is the mystery which godliness always presents to the ungodly. The mystery always arising from ignorance of the laws of eternal and unerring mind. The synonymous term of mind includes omniscience. Omniscience includes omni-intelligence, omni-wisdom, and omni-knowing. Omni means one, only, and all. So the only intelligence is from mind. This is infinite, incorporeal, divine, supreme mind. It is not mortal mind. So when it states that the mystery always arising from ignorance of the laws of eternal and unerring mind, we know that the mind which is relied on by the ungodly is mortal mind, which Mary Baker Eddy defines as an oxymoron, because she says that they are opposites, because mind is not mortal but immortal. So we can disregard any control by mortal mind as being authentic. It is only an illusion, a misapprehension of truth. On page 400, which is in the 12th chapter, Christian Science Practice, under the paragraph titled Confirmation in a Parable, she states, Our master asked, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man? In other words, how can I heal the body without beginning with so-called mortal mind, which directly controls the body? When disease is once destroyed in the so-called mind, the fear of disease is gone, and therefore the disease is thoroughly cured. Mortal mind is the strong man, which must be held in subjection before its influence upon health and morals can be removed. This error conquered, we can despoil the strong man of his goods, namely of sin and disease. Well, it's up to us individually. We have to control the so-called mortal mind. We have to fill our thought with truth. Some of the truths about mortal mind and the real man have already been mentioned, and we want to focus on the real man, which is the likeness of God. And the real mind is the mind of God. The mind of God is of the substance of spirit. Spirit is defined as being flawless. Matter is flawed. Matter is opaque. Spirit is transparent. No flaw. Totally transparent. Nothing to block the vision of reality. The only reality is the substance of spirit, which is flawless, transparent, and therefore reflective. We must claim our real identity through spiritual senses, spiritual seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling. We must examine our consciousness and dig out anything that is not His likeness. His, that's God, capital H, His likeness. It was recommended that one read the very short introduction to what one should review before they start a treatment. And that includes refreshing within one's thought the scientific statement of being. That is in the PDF that is part of the series of documents that are entitled All Treatment Standards. I know probably everyone listening to this has it memorized, but I will repeat it right now. There is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is His image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material, he is spiritual. It is suggested that one replace the word matter and man with the words that are appropriate for the situation. For example, whatever the problem is, they can say there is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in, and then put in the words of the title to the problem. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter what it is. It could be an accident. It could be any disease that one is dealing with, any sickness of any kind. It can be death. It can be any kind of an ailment. One of the greatest practitioners of all time since Mary Baker Eddy is Frederick L. Rosson. Mr. Rosson gave us a book entitled Treatment or Healing by True Prayer. It includes an alphabetical list of 1,315 ailments. It gives a very short description of the ailment, and it gives us the exact counterfact to the ailment. Mary Baker Eddy says we must know the counterfact to the problem in order to heal it. It's provided in that encyclopedia. He gave a treasure to the world. So, utilizing the scientific statement of being, wherever it refers to a generic term such as matter, then substitute the word that describes the problem. And wherever it describes man, substitute with who it is. I am the image and likeness of God. Where it says spirit is immortal truth, name the ailment. That is mortal error. Whatever the ailment is, that is mortal error. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. So put whatever the name of the title is to the problem is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. See, substitute the word matter. Spirit is God. And I am God's image and likeness. Therefore, I am not subject to, and then whatever the ailment is. That scientific statement is a very healing statement. But we have to individualize it for the situation. Don't talk in general terms. Utilize that as a reminder to individualize it, to point it directly to the problem and get rid of the problem. If we're working for all mankind, we could substitute the problem that we are addressing for all mankind with the word for matter and so forth, but then we could leave in the word man. We can say all man, every individual in the entire all existence. That can be utilized with very effective results. In chapter 8 of Miscellaneous Writings, page 247, Mary Baker Eddy states the following. To many, the healing force developed by Christian Science seems a mystery because they do not understand that spirit controls body. They acknowledge the existence of mortal mind, but they believe it to reside in matter of the brain, but that man is the idea of infinite mind is not so easily accepted. That which is temporary seems, to the common estimate, solid and substantial. It is much easier for people to believe that the body affects mind than that the body is an expression of mind and reflects harmony or discord according to thought. recollect what Shakespeare told us, and Mary Baker Eddy thought it was so important that it is the preface to the entire textbook, it along with two other quotes. She prefaces the entire textbook with that statement that there is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. One other thing you should be aware of that comes to thought at the moment. On page 146, Mary Baker Eddy states, and this is in the chapter on science, theology, and medicine, she states, divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based, and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. You'll recall what Einstein stated, science without religion is lame, and religion without science is blind. The genius represented by Mary Baker Eddy in written words in the textbook gives us both. She gives us science and she gives us religion. Religion might be considered a way to live. Science is principle. It is a system and a structure that works the same way for everyone, no matter who they are, no matter what the color of their skin is, no matter where they're located geographically, no matter what time of the day or night it is, their age, their preferences, their occupation, their marital status, nothing has anything to do with the facts. The facts are that Christian science is a science that can be demonstrated just like mathematics. 16 plus 15 is always 31. 15 squared is always 225. 3 minus 6 is always a negative 3. Mathematics can have a mistake by the user, but it cannot have a mistake in its own science, because it's been proven to be true. Christian science cannot have a mistake, but the user can be mistaken. If healing doesn't come, there is a mistake somewhere. You can call a practitioner, and maybe you're lucky, and have a healing, but basically one has to transform their own thought, their own life, their own speech, their own action to live prayer without ceasing. We cannot think about it for one moment and the next minute do the opposite. We have to live the truth all the time, without exception. If one is not honest with others, then don't expect to have healing. Healing is based on truth. One should not expect to have a successful business if they are not treating their customers properly. The golden rule applies all the time to every single individual and any company. If a company does not treat its customers properly, it does not deserve to be in business. The seven synonymous terms and the four operators are discussed in a number of different treatments, and a brief description is also included in the All Treatment Standards. It is suggested that you review those, and if you have not given really serious study and don't continuously study the meaning of those things, it is highly recommended that you study the book by Helen Wright, which is entitled Your Divinity Revealed. There is a chapter on each one of the seven synonymous terms. If you have never read Science and Health from beginning to end, you are shortchanging yourself. It is a good practice to be continuously reading Science and Health from beginning to end, a little each day. And when you get finished, go back and start all over. It should be a lifetime endeavor to continuously reading Science and Health from beginning to end. Chapter 14, which is a summary of the first 13 chapters and entitled Recapitulation, has an introductory quote that states, and this is quoting from Isaiah, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Mary Baker Eddy is telling us, don't try to accomplish everything in one day. Work every day a little bit, and together it will be compounded into a major transformation of your life. Every day helps. We have moments all day long. It's defined as the smallest measurement of time. If we utilize our moments, one would be surprised at the progress that will take place in their spiritual growth. If we want to have control of our lives, which is going to contribute to the spiritual control of everyone, then we must invest the time and the effort toward that end. Mary Baker Eddy says, infinite progress is concrete being. There's no end to it. We just need to be consistent day after day, forever, to gain a little bit. Here is one from Retrospection and Introspection. It's under the title of Admonition, page 84. The less the teacher personally controls other minds, and the more he trusts them to the divine truth and love, the better it will be for both teacher and student. Here's a thought about food. This is from Rudimental Divine Science, page 12. It says, Christian Science erases from the minds of invalids their mistaken belief that they live in or because of matter, or that a so-called material organism controls the health or existence of mankind and induces rest in God, divine love, as caring for all the conditions requisite for the well-being of man. So Christian Science induces rest in God, divine love. But the belief is, which she says is mistaken, is that they live in or because of matter, and that material organism controls the health or existence of mankind. She says a so-called material organism. That's how it is labeled by mortal mind. She continues, as power divine is the healer, why should mortals concern themselves with the chemistry of food? Jesus said, take no thought what ye shall eat. So, he doesn't mean the quantity. She is saying that he means the composition of the food. It was brought out in a treatment just yesterday that obesity means an excess of anything, not just food. As has previously stated, the symptom typically does not point to the right cause. One could be experiencing obesity because of the quantity of food they are eating, but what is causing them to eat an excess of quantity? They're probably searching for a solution to something that has nothing to do with food. We need to find what the real problem is, not what the decoy symptom might be pointing to. Again, the Shakespeare quotation, there is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. What do we think a particular food is going to do for the physical body? Are we believing the advertising? Or perhaps we don't even give it any thought, and it is unconscious universal belief that is affecting the situation. Mary Baker Eddy states that we need to protect ourselves against universal belief. She continues, the practitioner should also endeavor to free the minds of the healthy from any sense of subordination to their bodies, and teach them that the divine mind, not material law, maintains human health and life. The founder of one of the Christian Science institutions said that we should, and actually this is the son, he said we should consider our body our servant, like an office boy or a secretary or any staff that is an assistant. We shouldn't let the belief that body can talk to us and tell us what to do. We need to be letting the divine mind, which is omni-intelligence, omni-wisdom, and omni-knowing, be the controller of our thought, speech, and action. And the way we can do that is to flood our consciousness with the truth. Science and Health is filled with the truth, and her other writings as well. She said in a letter to a student who was inquiring about how to get help on vision, she said, "Are you able to focus no matter what comes your way?" Mary Baker Eddy says, "We are flooded constantly. We're barraged with mortal mind suggestions. But we need to be focused on truth." Truth. As noted, the scientific statement of being is just one of thousands of truths that are available to us through Mary Baker Eddy's writings. In People's Idea of God, in the sermon on page 8, she states, "Mind that governs the universe governs every action of the body, as directly as it moves a planet and controls the muscles of the arm." We have to fill our thought with the truth so that the truth automatically comes to us when there appears to be a problem. And that will help us focus, which is the key. Nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. And the first introductory quote to the textbook, Science and Health, is from John, and in his words from Jesus, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." It is suggested that you listen under all treatment standards for how to seal a treatment. God is all there is. There is nothing but God. Amen.